This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. You know my next guest's voice, even if you don't know his name. Joe Cipriano has been the promo voice for Fox for over 25 years, and he's also worked for CBS and NBC and several other networks. He's also been the voice of America's Got Talent and Deal or No Deal and One Versus 100 and Hollywood Game Night and other game shows, plus a bunch of live award shows. Let me just give you a sample of what Joe does best.
What's the buzz on TV's number one show?
You're good-looking, very successful. Women settle for a lot less.
And thank God for that.
It's genuinely great.
We're just having breakfast.
Scrambled eggs and tongue. Nice.
And really funny. Long live 2 1/2 Men.
When it's right, and it is right, right?
Right.
A new episode Monday, only CBS.
That is Joe doing his thing for 2 1/2 Men. Now he has written a book about his career, starting in small-time radio and working his way up to the top of the voice world. It's called Living on Air, and he's here to talk about it now. Joe, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, hello there, Paul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully. You were kind enough to send me an advanced copy of the book, which I read in one night and really, really enjoyed. And I told you by email that one of the things that I loved about it was it showed your obsession as a young boy for the broadcasting business. What was it that first turned you on to broadcasting?
You know, I think it's probably something you share as well. I mean, for me, I was in fourth grade, and my class, grammar school class, went on a tour of a radio station in my home state in Connecticut. And it was an AM, FM, and a TV station. And the TV station was really interesting, and I loved all the cameras. But it was when I got in front of that window looking at the DJs who were on the air, and I was just mesmerized by the fact that these guys were talking to the masses. They were live on the air, having a blast, laughing, telling jokes, and everyone in my class could not take their eyes off of these guys. And I thought, now this is great. I was never that great in school, Paul, and I figured maybe this is something that I could do. And that just started my, you know, my love of broadcasting. And that was, you know, in the mid to late 60s.
And so once you started doing that and you actually got a chance to get inside that radio station or one nearby in a small town in Connecticut, did you start just hanging around there all the time thinking every minute I'm here is cool?
Exactly. I mean, I got to hang out with all these DJs who, in my small town in Waterbury, Connecticut, they were the biggest celebrities that you could ever meet, you know. We got all of our news, all of our music, everything that went on in the world was siphoned through that AM radio station and, you know, spilled out to the entire town. So it was a big deal. And to go to the radio station, and I talk about it, it was 1969, and kind of recreate that era of top 40 radio was the biggest thing in town, and to actually meet one of those DJs. And fortunate for me, he was a great guy, and he said, hey, listen, you know, I'm the music director here at the station. Why don't you come down on Saturdays and help me file records, and, you know, you can go out and get food for the jocks, and I'll let you work in one of the studios here, and you can do a make-believe radio show. And that's, I kind of learned everything. In fact, and you probably did as well, I grew up on the air, starting at 14 years of age. And all the mistakes I made, everything I learned on the radio, on the air. And so thousands of people heard all of my mistakes. By the way, I've been listening to you today. You haven't made any of those mistakes. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you. I'm hoping to get a job in radio someday. Now, you, of course, followed that radio career through the hierarchy of Connecticut and then on to Washington, D.C., which you write about in the book, and then out to L.A., where you did radio but also got a huge break doing voice work for the Fox network. Have you actually been the voice of every promo for every Simpsons since the show started?
Wow. You know, I would have to say it's pretty darn close to that. And the show started, I started at Fox in 1988. Again, radio played a role in that. I happened to be on the air one day, and the head of marketing for this brand new television network happened to hear me on the radio. And it was just, you know, a stroke of luck. But yeah, once The Simpsons came on the air, I did all the promos for that wonderful show, even to this day in syndication. I do all the promos as the show goes off network and into syndication as well. So I call it, it's the golden gig. There's no doubt about it.
Did your voice appear in any episodes?
I've never been in an episode, but I was at a taping once of a TV show that was being produced by the producers of The Simpsons. It was a live action show. And the warm-up guy in the audience was was interviewing me as an audience member and said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a television voice." And they said, "Well, give us a sample." And I said, "Sunday, it's an all-new Simpsons on Fox." And the producers that were down on the floor, they all turned around and went, "Wait a minute, what is it?" They had heard my voice for years and years and years. So, it was really, really fun, and it was great to meet them, and they were so excited to, to finally meet the voice that promotes their show.
You also have worked on game shows many, many times and award shows. And there's a story in there. I don't know if you remember, was your first award show or very close to the first award show where you were actually backstage and you thought it would be really cool to be around all the stars, but you were nowhere near them. They put you in a closet under, like, down in the basement, right?
The very first show I did. And I've done the Grammys and the Emmys and some wonderful big shows, live events. This was called the VH1 Honors, and it was here in Los Angeles. And, yeah, it was under the stage in kind of a warehouse basement area. And it was funny. It was my first time doing live announcing. And, there's a lot of chatter that goes on in your earphones. The director is talking to the camera people and all of that. And my first time, they said, "Okay, Joe, you're about to introduce Cameron Diaz." I said, "Yeah, okay, I got it." And, "All right, ready, everybody? Ready, announce? Cue, announce. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome." And then I hear in my headphones, no, stop. And I froze. And then I hear the director say, go, what did you stop for? And I, picked it up. And the thing was, the director wasn't talking to me. He was talking to a cameraman who was moving when he shouldn't have been moving. And I realized, oh, my gosh, there's a lot going on when you do a live show. So now when I do a live show and they say, "Ready, announce, cue, announce," I turn down the volume of the truck so I don't hear anybody. And yeah. I just go. If they tell me to go, I'm going to score a touchdown, even if I'm running the wrong way.
As I mentioned, you also did game shows. One of them, I mentioned a bunch that you've done. I know another one was Pictionary. I wonder if you were on the set the day Eric Estrada punched out Bill Maher.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's in the book, the entire behind the scenes of what happened. And Eric Estrada was so thrilled to be on that show. And Bill Maher was, his attitude was like, "Why did my agent book me on this show?" When would you ever see Bill Maher and Eric Estrada on the, the same stage? And
yeah.
Eric Estrada had gotten an answer right, and he celebrated in Rocky Balboa style, throwing his fists up in the air, just as Bill Maher was getting up off the couch to go up to the board and caught Bill right in the nose, and he dropped like a rock. And the entire TV show just crashed at that moment. It was quite an event.
Yeah. You and I have talked recently about a movie called In a World that came out this summer. A wonderful writer, director, star by the name of Lake Bell put this together. Yeah. It's about people in the voiceover business. You actually have a cameo in it, and you know some of the other people who were in that. And one of them, of course, was a guy by the name of Don LaFontaine, who was the voice for movie promos. He was the guy who invented In a World. And tell my audience a little bit about your relationship with Don.
Well, he was probably the biggest announcer ever. And like you said, he came up with that phrase, In a World. And he's done hundreds and hundreds of thousands of movies. He passed away in 2008. I know that you had him on your show. And,
yep.
He was an amazing talent, very, very smart guy. And for me, I worked with him at Fox for years and years and years. He was the drama voice, and I was the comedy voice. And he's the kind of guy that is a mentor and always would give back. He's famous for having a limo. He was so busy, Paul, he used to have a limo to drive him back and forth to all of his sessions all day long. And he used to invite young hopefuls who wanted to get into voiceover to join him on his day. And you can imagine being someone who wants to do what this guy did so well, to kind of learn at the foot of the master and watch him work at all of these different studios. It was an amazing education, a one-day master's course in voiceover. But very generous guy, very funny guy. I have a couple of really great stories about Don in the book. He meant a lot to me and helped me a lot in times when, I call this this ride, a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can relate in broadcasting and in voiceover. You're up and then suddenly without any notice whatsoever.
And one thing I know, Joe, is that you have followed in his footsteps, not only in the work, but also in helping others. And people will learn a lot by reading the book. It's called Living on Air by voiceover guy Joe Cipriano, the best in the business. Thanks for joining me, Joe.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great weekend.
This is America Weekend. America.